I'm Brian.
I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode, wait for it, 200.
Champagne is popping.
Yeah, 200. This is episode 200.
200. Congratulations, Griff. This is great. 200. That's a milestone. We had a milestone last week with 1 million downloads and a milestone this week with the 200th episode.
It's like two big odometers turning over on a trip, but we're still not finished with the journey.
No, we're not.
When will we hit 300?
So we need 100 and you do fit. So within less than 2 years,
about
obviously.
About 2 years, yeah. So yeah. 2024.
Yeah, cool. You know, I just read something that it said, it's not the journey, it's not the destination, it's the company. Just think, we have thousands of people who are on this journey with us. So we've got great company.
They download this every Tuesday. It becomes part of their routine. And I'm always amazed. I think, who wants to listen to us? But they do.
And we get questions from them.
We do.
Comments. And I hope they keep sending them in.
If you took the fact that we have 200 episodes and we've got 1 million downloads, can't that give us some calculation about how many people actually listen to us? Because we really don't know. We've got download information.
Yeah, because we can't get at the unique users.
Because I was trying to figure out, you know, how do we inflate a number and they boast about it? But I don't think that's going to work. So
no, I know there's one listener who's not truly a listener.
Really? Who's that?
Well, my son's girlfriend made him download one to listen to me. And I said, you didn't.
Oh, you're kidding. What was her reaction?
I looked at Brendan and I said, how long did you listen? 3 minutes? He goes, yeah, about 3 minutes.
Who wants to listen to you old boomers?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you do want to listen, one of the things you tune in for is the news. So is there any news?
There is some news this week. We've got a couple items to talk about this week.
Oh, good.
The first is from USPS, which has just announced changes to its hazardous materials requirements. These changes limit the services that can be used when shipping pre-owned, damaged, or defective electronic devices with lithium batteries. Sellers who ship these items with lithium batteries must now send them via ground transportation services, as they can no longer be sent via air transportation. Acceptable services include USPS Retail Ground or Parcel Select.
Or UPS. I know it's USPS we're talking about.
Right.
You can also send a UPS Ground.
And you use UPS a lot, don't you?
I do.
USPS has also published new requirements for separation of packages containing hazardous materials. USPS provides additional details and FAQs on the recent changes on their website. We'll include those links in the episode 200 transcript, and as we get updates from USPS, eBay will provide them on Seller News or the Seller News Announcements post.
I mentioned UPS because I do use it a lot now. It's actually a pretty good deal, especially for items that are 2 pounds or over. They compete with USPS rates, and the service is really good. The stuff gets there pretty quick.
I always say compare prices. Just don't assume that your go-to carrier has the best price.
Yeah. So what's our second news item, Brian?
Well, we have some interesting news about sellers and a bad word.
What?
Debt.
Oh, I'm out of here. No, I'm all ears.
Good. This is from our good friend Barbara Weltman over at Big Ideas for Small Businesses. Apparently, small business owners are carrying a lot of personal debt.
Oh, no, that's not good. That's not good.
No. That's the findings from business.org. In fact, 89% have personal debt related to their business. 23% of them up to $5,000.
Of debt?
Of personal debt. Jeez. Not just any kind of debt, personal debt. 34% between $5,000 and $15,000. 28% with $15,000 to $30,000. And 4% with more than $100,000 in personal debt related to their business.
Oh, that's such a liability.
It is. Especially given they can choose to do other things and not have personal debt.
Yeah.
What's more, 38% report their personal credit score has declined because of this.
Oh,
not a surprise, though,
yeah.
Is it? You know, if you're carrying more debt, and especially personal debt.
Yeah. Hey, are you signed up for Barbara's Big Ideas for Small Business newsletter?
I'm not. Are you?
Oh, yeah, I am. I get it it's almost every day. Barbara's been on the show.
She has.
She's a tax attorney. She's really good at what she does. And her newsletter always has these little nuggets of important information for small businesses, including information that's relevant to eBay sellers. It's easy and it's free. You can sign up and get it sent to your mailbox at bigideasforsmallbusiness.com. That's bigideasforsmallbusiness.com. We're not paid to promote this, I have to say. I just like Barbara and I like her email.
She's always really informative when she's on the show.
Yeah. And we're not allowed to give tax advice.
No, we're not.
And we always give that disclaimer, and then I start giving tax advice.
Well, it's not always tax advice. It's just business advice.
Yeah, it's business advice. And I'm not going to say you have to do this, but I'm going to say you might want to consider, if you haven't done so yet, of creating a business structure that's going to separate your business from your personal finances by either registering as a limited liability corporation or a partnership, even if you're a sole proprietor, but still get that business and get an employee identification number and keep your finances separate so that you're not putting business liability on your personal credit. Because if your business, if it goes under, you're going to be responsible for all that debt.
Yes.
That can be a real hardship.
And it's my understanding as well that, like, you know, if you set up like a business account with, you know, if you think about your local store, your local Main Street store likely has a business account at their local bank.
Yeah.
And so you do that as a seller. Over time, you can also get business financing through that.
Right.
We have other options for business financing as well.
Oh, we do?
We do.
Pray tell, what are they?
We may pitch that. But the other thing, my understanding, though, oftentimes is with business financing, the rates can also be lower.
Yeah.
It's not just about simplicity around keeping your business finances separate from your personal, but it's also about potentially having lower rates on whatever borrowing you're doing, which is better for you as a business.
And of course, as you mentioned, I think we should give a plug here to eBay Seller Capital, right? I think we should.
eBay Seller Capital. Yes. So, and if sellers haven't checked it out, now with managed payments, you can get financing through Seller Capital.
It's not really managed payments, though. It's payments.
It's eBay payments now. Yeah. It used to be managed payments, yeah. Didn't it?
You're stuck in the old days of the old brands.
Well, it got drilled into me so much in that first year.
I know. Anyway, we've had them on in episode 168. We had the folks from eBay Seller Capital on, and they talked about the benefits and how to sign up. I'll put a link to that episode in the transcript for this episode 200. But in brief, eBay Seller Capital is a financing option for eBay small businesses and small business sellers who could use a capital infusion to help boost their businesses up to the next level.
And if you've never applied for financing before, eBay Seller Capital, powered by LendingPoint, by the way, another shameless plug.
Well, we have to. There, you know, it's important.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's who is kind of like the engine behind it.
Yeah.
But eBay Seller Capital makes it easy for you to explore your options without impacting your personal credit.
And like we talked about before, so many times, you want to keep your business and personal finances separate. And the best way to figure out how to do that's going to work for your business is talk to a good tax attorney or expert, even if you have to hire them. Remember, it's an expense, business expense that you can write off.
Wait, is that tax advice?
It is tax advice, and I don't care. But if you need someone who's an expert besides the two of us, you know, knuckleheads here, to actually show you how to do this right so that you can be safe in your business. And if you're borrowing on the business, you're not putting your personal, your house, your belongings, your wife, your children, your first, but you're not putting all that on the auction block in case things go belly up.
Really good advice. And you're always good about remembering that disclaimer. I always forget.
Well, it's not because eBay tells us to. It's because I don't want the liability personally.
That's
Griff says a lot of things. But one thing I will say before we go on to our next segment is if you want to check them out, it's at ebay.com/sellercapital.
And we will include the link in the transcript.
Brian, a piece in the New York Times caught my eye with about a week or so ago. And the title of the piece is, listen to this, "The Golden Age of Thrifting is Over."
That's rather presumptuous from the New York Times, don't you think?
I do. The article makes some interesting points, though, about the changes many thrift stores have had to make in order to keep up with rising expenses, including this new strategy for inventory of filling up their racks and shelves with merchandise coming directly from retail apparel manufacturers, distributors, and liquidators, as opposed from just donors. And they quote a few thrifters about their experiences of late, most of which are not good. But it got me thinking, I wonder how some of our sellers are faring in the current thrift store universe. Surely it can't be that bad for them. But as someone who hasn't stepped foot inside a thrift store in nearly 2 years, I can't believe it.
2 years?
Yes, withdrawal. Really bad. I'm definitely not the expert here. So I thought, why not we ask some of our eBay for Business Facebook members for their take? And they gave, well, some pretty interesting responses. I thought we could read a few of them.
I think that's a great idea.
Me too. And I also thought, since neither you or I are experienced thrift store habituees, let's call up someone who is. Hello, Liz O'Kane.
Hi, Griff. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Liz. What a surprise. It's great to hear your voice.
Well, thanks. And to the both of you also.
Yeah, thanks so much for agreeing to come on at the last minute. Thought it would be great to have an expert, or at least somebody who's got some recent experience. The way we'll do this is Brian and I will swap out reading some of the responses to our Facebook group, and then we'll let you jump in to give your take. Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Let's start off with a reply that was from eBay seller Brenda. And again, she's replied to the question I post, is the golden age of thrifting over? And she's put this in her post. Well, I'm beginning to think so. I shopped at several of my usual thrifts in Carson City and Reno over the weekend. Everything was so expensive, there was no way I could resell and make any money. I had to make an airport run in Sacramento. So I went to several thrifts and Ross stores on the way. I only bought some clearance items at Ross. They were less expensive than the stuff at Goodwill. Guess I got to go to estate sales. Getting very hard to find resellable items at Goodwill, Salvation Army, with their prices increasing so much.
That was from Brenda.
Yeah, Brenda is not happy.
What about you, Liz? Do you find the same thing? You know, you're in Colorado, similar situation?
Yeah, we are in thrifting country. We have a lot of resellers in the state that I've met. We have a lot of thrifting. We have an abundance of thrifting. And, you know, I've thrifted in a lot of different places around the United States, and I found there are pockets. Not everybody has great access.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it could be geographical.
And Carson City is not as big an area as Denver, Colorado Springs. There's a lot more people in those areas than Carson City.
And Brenda made a great point, too, and something that wasn't mentioned in the article that's been a huge buzz in the reseller community. And I've noticed it kind of comes and goes over the years is the raising of thrift store prices. And that has a huge effect. And I've seen it. It seems like every other year it's a conversation. A lot of the thrift stores are regionally run, especially some of the chain ones. I think that new managers come in, they raise the prices, they realize it doesn't work, they lower the prices, they add promotions, they take away promotions. So I think a lot of that too is geographically based.
So you could see a lot of differences just based on where you're located.
Yes.
It's not easy for somebody from Carson City to just get in their car and drive to Denver and have a better experience.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Well, Brian, will you read the next one?
I will. And this is a short one from Mary. She says, LOL, no. Golden age, ? I can still find vintage items, 1950s.
I like the way she added 1950s. It's like she knew I was listening. Our good friend and recent guest, Libby Brogy of Conchi Consignments, she spoke up. She said, golden age of thrifting. I think we're living in it now.
And seller Julie added a similar sentiment. There's still tons of stuff to flip from thrifts. I like that. Flip from thrifts. You just need to learn what to look for.
So Liz, not over then.
I do not think so. I think we're living in the height of it right now. My take on it, honestly, you know, they talked a lot about the fast fashion and clogging up, you know, in this article. Yeah, it has clogged a lot of the thrift stores, and that's probably a whole other conversation for another podcast. But people are still donating. People right now are thrifting more than they ever have across all of our generations. I mean, I don't know about you or any of the listeners, but I know growing up, we didn't talk about thrifting. Like the thrift store, you whispered it. And now it's like, oh, I like your shirt. Thanks, I thrifted it. You know,
yes.
And it's kind of like this
proud so
thing. Like, hey, I saved it and I saved money and I'm probably going to wear this shirt for 5 more years. So now it is a thing.
I used to do the same thing, but the reason why I didn't tell anyone is I didn't want the competition as a buyer. I was buying in the 80s those wide 1940s Art Deco ties at a local thrift store in Vermont, and I was getting them for good money, and someone asked where I got them, and I said, oh, they were left to me by a dead uncle.
Do you know, Liz, it's so interesting that you say that because my eldest daughter is a big thrifter and it's for her personal use. She goes in and she finds clothes that she wants. And I remember she bought me a shirt once and she goes, guess how much I paid, Dad? It was a nice golf shirt from a well-known golf course nearby here in Monterey. So I assumed it was like $10 and she said $1.50.
Well, that's thrifting.
Right. I know, but you know, this was like Pebble Beach.
I know we tend to think of the word now as another word for variety sourcing, but thrifting has a root in it and the root word is thrift.
Yes.
And thrift means you're not spending that much.
And my daughter is very good at it.
Yeah, good for her.
My kids also. Yep.
It's interesting.
Well, of course, your children. I mean, we would think they learn from you.
But I think it's interesting, Liz's point about generational, because I agree. Like when I was young, it was JCPenney's and it was those kinds of places that we would go shop at. You know, I don't think there's any stigma to going into a thrift store to find items that you're going to wear with the young generation.
The olden days of old.
Yes.
People would they would put their coat over their head like they were doing a perp walk going. They didn't want to be seen going into like the Goodwill or the Salvation.
I will say this. I haven't bought a brand new shirt in a long time.
Oh, no.
Because every shirt I buy on eBay that I'm going to wear like to work. Because if it's used, nobody knows after I throw it in the washer that I bought it used.
Yeah. That's the beauty of pre-owned clothing is no one really knows. If it's a little threadbare, you could say, well, I love this shirt. I've worn it for decades and I'm not getting rid of it. Seller Belinda replied to our question as well. And she had an interesting take. And I've seen this. I remember seeing this when I would go to thrift stores. She says, thrift stores are overrun with resellers, constantly looking at their phones, loudly proclaiming to anyone who will listen that they bought X for Y and sold it for Z. They hang out at the door waiting for new stuff, dragging four carts with them, asking employees to save them stuff. The list is endless, she says.
And seller Tanya agreed with the question. Considering there are very few indie thrift shops where I live, yeah, I think the golden age of thrifting is over.
And Liz, I asked the question, well, how do you know that you know you have resellers? And you had a good response.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I can just go back to not even 5 years ago to where, you know, as a reseller, if you wanted to look up a comp, right, like Belinda was saying, you kind of held your phone down and you didn't want anybody to see. Now people are live streaming from the thrift stores saying, hey, I've got this. Who wants to bid? Wow. Okay, $5 over asking. Who wants it? And then they'll throw it in their cart. Or they'll list it right from the thrift store and put it in their cart. And if it doesn't sell in the 2 hours that they're there, they'll put it back.
Are you
kidding?
If it
sells, then they'll buy it.
Oh,
yeah.
My. So no risk,
really. The thrift store employees know.
They do.
They do. And you know what? Some of my thrift stores, the ones that I've been to, they've been very welcoming. They don't say, oh, but you're a reseller. They're like, oh, do you resell? Do you like this brand? Here, there's five of these on this rack. Or we just had a very last minute unconventional seller meetup up in Denver to where a seller that I knew was coming into town. She's like, let's get together. She invited more friends. And we all went thrifting together all day long.
Right. Oh, that would be fun. So I'd actually love
that. It was so much fun. Yeah. And we're actually doing that. Well, by the time this airs, we'll have already done it here in Colorado Springs because we had so much fun. We decided to do it again this month, but down in my area.
A few times in the past when I've gone out sourcing at thrift stores with somebody or another group, it's just total fun. But I stopped thinking about profits and just thinking about, let's have a good time. Who's going to buy this?
It was really funny because I think everybody left with a cart full. I mean, we hit two thrift stores and the Goodwill outlet, and we all learned from each other. We all filled our carts, different things, you know, and we were able to be like, oh, you got these? It's like, yeah, did you know this brand? Oh, well, why did you pick that up? So we all got to shop for our own stores while we were working, but we also live learned from each other. The golden age of thrifting, we definitely didn't see it here, but that doesn't mean that other people may not see it in their area.
Yeah,
so.
True.
I know that happens too.
Seller Brandon had this to say, I have only gone thrifting a few times since March 2020, which was when the pandemic started. I like going to garage sales now mostly. Also, my mom and dad are getting up in age and have given my wife and I things to sell in our two antique booths that we run. So those are a couple of ways I source today versus 5 years ago when I would only go to thrift stores. So Brandon's actually branched out. Of course, it's nice to have parents with a bunch of stuff they want to get rid of.
Yes. Yeah. And seller Walter thinks the golden age is long, long past. He responded, I think the golden age were the pre-internet days when not everyone was a reseller. Back then, you had to lug everything to flea markets or sell in an antique mall. Griff's familiar with those.
Oh, am I?
But it was a lot easier to find good merchandise. The internet has made it easier to sell, but now with everyone selling and having smartphones to look everything up, it's making it harder to have great finds.
Yeah, and seller Barry has a completely different take. He replied, no, I don't think it's over at all. We sell mainly gentlemen's clothing. I like that, gentlemen's clothing. We shop in the fourth largest market in the country once a month. The only issue I see now, says Barry, is lack of inventory on the shelves due to the shortage of workers. That's a good point. That is the reason I'm getting from managers of the stores we shop at why the shelves are empty. But other than that, We're still finding great stuff and tons of it. I mentioned at the top of this that I haven't been inside a thrift store, but I've been outside them every week. We're cleaning up. I have too much stuff. Most of it I don't want to bother trying to list. And we make a trip to Savers every week with a couple boxes in the back of the Murano. And I got to tell you, this one place, this is in South San Jose, that donation area is always so overflowing. And they don't stop anyone from donating. So they must be selling the stuff. They get it in, they put it in, and it must go out again. So it really must be a regional issue.
He makes a great point. I mean, that's probably another whole episode that you could do on the waste that these thrift stores end up having to then pay to haul away because they have too much stuff, or the people that are seeing bare shelves, kind of like Barry, you know, I've run into it even when I do retail arbitrage. It's not necessarily just thrift stores. They have the inventory. They don't have enough people to process it and put it on the shelves.
Yeah, I was thinking if Barry knows like a spot that he goes to all the time and the shelves are bare, maybe he takes 2 hours a week and helps load the shelves with the agreement from the thrift store that he gets first cut at any inventory he puts up.
That's pretty smart, I think.
Don't think that hasn't crossed my mind.
I want to end this with some words of optimism because, again, if you go and read the post, you listen to some of these that we've read, it's just all over the place. So it is a matter of personal experience. And as Liz says, seems like it could be a regional issue. But here's some words of optimism from eBay seller Amanda. She says, I still have a lot of luck at local smaller thrift stores, but the bigger chain stores have their own selling outlets now. It's still fun for us, though. So I don't necessarily think that the golden age of thrifting is over. It's just changing along with everything else. But then, isn't that just business, baby? And she's right. Nothing stays the same. Everything changes. And the benefit of being the middleman is you can be real nimble and you can make some quick profits. But the risk is Everyone's looking to cut out the middlemen. So if you're buying to resell in any market and somebody picks up on it, they're going to go after your business.
I've seen this across multiple different social media platforms. Actually, this was a very popular article in the reselling world. And there was a huge conversation on Instagram about it. And one of the parts of the conversation was, you know, as resellers, you always have to be looking at that next step and not getting comfortable. Yeah, I could sell, you know, item A all day, but if people lose interest in it, or if, you know, the manufacturing goes way up and supply is up and demand is down, you have to be able to make that pivot. If I only know shoes and all of a sudden shoes aren't popular, you know, that's not a thing, right? Shoes are hot and they're going to be hot for a while. But let's just say that happened. I also need to have in the back of my head, I need to be able to learn about the next hottest thing.
And it's not always what you think. I know that when people get really comfortable, and Brian and I have seen this working inside of eBay with sellers who they grab in a category or a niche early on, like at eBay like 20 years ago. And I'm thinking of one seller who shall be nameless, and it was in the media, CD categories, and they were flying for the longest time. Mm-hmm. But then competition came in and suddenly it was really hard for them to make a living. You have to expect that somebody's going to try to outcompete with you all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. My thing is, you know, resellers, you take these articles with a grain of salt, take them, digest them, but don't take them to heart. Don't let them get you down. Keep going. Keep going.
That's really, really good advice for listeners because, you know, in some ways, when I read the title of the article, even it kind of had a negative bent and you kind of figured that was the direction it was going to go. But we know from experience, whether it's Liz or Teresa or so many other sellers out there who find success every single day, you just had Vicky and Katie on.
Oh, they're doing great.
You know, yeah. So there are so many sellers out there who have found a way to make it work. And I bet most of those, they're all nimble. And they're all open-minded about the way the markets were going.
Just like Liz O'Kane.
Yes.
Hey, Liz, tell people where they can find you.
I am on all platforms at Colorado Reworn.
Colorado Reworn, including eBay. Check it out. She's got a lot of great stuff. And I want to thank you, Liz, for taking the time to jump on this. Again, this wasn't planned. We were just going to read this. And then I thought, let's get somebody on here.
I'm really glad Liz joined.
Yes, I am too.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you happen to have my phone number on your little hot dial there. I appreciate it.
Yes, we know everything about everybody. We have all of your information.
Well, it was a true pleasure. Thank you both again for including me.
And thanks to all the sellers who responded to our post about the golden age of thrifting. I suspect that the golden age may change over time, but good stuff always shows up. You know where and when to look and what to look for. You got questions?
We got answers. And I got to warn you up front, Brian, one of the answers may be quite controversial.
Whoa, controversial. Really?
Yep.
What hot water are you going to get us into this week, Griff?
Well, not really hot water. Maybe just a tad lukewarm at best.
Boiling the frogs?
Yeah.
I'm a little worried now.
Yeah, you should be.
So our first email is from eBay seller Antonio, who wrote this to podcast@ebay.com. Hi, guys. Just heard the podcast and was wondering why media mail is not recommended. Thanks for another great show.
Uh-oh. I know what he's talking about. We answered a question about this.
Antonio, our apologies if the segment was confusing and led to any misunderstanding. We weren't recommending against using media mail.
Nope.
In fact, USPS media mail is definitely recommended if the item qualifies for shipment via media mail.
And that's the key, Antonio. On eBay, media mail qualification depends on the category in which the item is listed. And I think what he got confused about maybe is, if I remember correctly, we were talking about someone listing an automotive-related book in a non-book category, like they put it in parts and accessories, for example.
Right.
And then when they went to print it out, media mail wasn't available. Because if a seller lists the book in a non-book category, the option for media mail will not be available at the time of label purchase and printing. And that's what happened.
Yes. So media mail can be the best option economically for those items that qualify for it as shipping option. Just be sure to list any media in a media category, or it doesn't necessarily have to be a media category, but a category that I'm trying to think, like there was an issue around stitching books. And we used to not offer media mail in those categories, but now we do.
We do?
Because the USPS changed kind of like how they interpreted the rule.
It has to be in the books category.
And it has to be any category where it's available. If it's not available, it means you can't use it.
Right.
And you can't go list it in a different category to get around it.
Right. And I think some people think, well, here's a book and it's about how to fix a motorcycle. So I'm going to put it in the motorcycle category.
Yes.
Muzzle tough, knock yourself out. But when you go to print it, you're not going to have the option for printing it on media mail.
Exactly.
And I think what happened is, and this was part of the discussion, why doesn't eBay block it when I list it? Yeah, we don't tell you up front when you list the book in the automotive category and you go to use a policy that has media mail that you can't use that. We should. Maybe
yes.
we can do that. As a listener of the podcast, be forewarned, if you do select media mail in that case, you're not going to have the media mail option after the transaction happens.
And to your point, if it's in a media category like books and things like that, you know it'll have that option.
Right. And somebody mentioned a workaround, which is go to something like stamps.com and print it out there. Okay. So in this case, yes, that would be a workaround because it's a book. It qualifies for media mail. It was restricted by category, but it's not restricted by USPS. You could technically go to the stamps.com site and print out a media mail thing there.
Right.
I hope that answered your question, Antonio. We do recommend media mail, but only for those things that qualify. Our second question was sent to us by eBay seller Suzanne, who sent the following to podcast@ebay.com. Hello, my eBay for Business podcast pals. I guess we're pals now. I, as well as many of my eBay colleagues, have really appreciated the Time Away edition. But here's my problem/concern. When a buyer returns an item while a seller is on time away, the seller doesn't have an opportunity to examine the return before eBay issues a refund to the buyer. Is there a way that returns and refunds while on time away can themselves be put on time away as well in order for the seller to have the time to examine an item before issuing a refund and/or contacting the buyer? Thank you for all your help over the years. Suzanne. On eBay, she's known as Distelfink Antiques.
Suzanne, this is a great question, but unfortunately, there's no great answer.
Nope.
That is, the time windows for returns and refunds cannot be put on a time away schedule for delay. It's a really interesting idea.
It is an interesting idea, and I wonder if there is a way. In the future, you put your store on vacation time away, it also puts that window for accepting a return on time away as the same duration. It only makes, when you think of it, it only makes sense. How can you actually inspect the item? We tell sellers, inspect the item, issue the refund.
Right.
But if you're away, you can't inspect that item. Say you're gone for 2 weeks. eBay's going to say, you haven't let us know. We're just going to issue the refund.
Yeah. My assumption is, given the rate of returns is relatively low, this is just an interesting idea. I just wonder, like, how much of an issue? Like, this is the first time I've really seen it from a seller or heard from a seller that, you know, they want this feature.
Yeah. It's the first time I've heard it too, but it got me thinking, not so much that I want to inspect the item. What I want to make sure is that the item is delivered safely to wherever the return is being delivered, because I'm away. Say I'm away and I'm thinking, I don't want my items left on my porch.
Right.
So maybe I need to have everything held at the post office, or maybe I have to go rent a UPS box, or I have to find some alternative that while I'm away, any returns are going to be shipped to a place where I know they're safe. That would be my concern, is I'm taking an item back. I don't want to lose it, you know,
right?
Porch theft or something.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. The other thing is, you know, maybe we haven't heard this suggestion much because time away is relatively new. The new time away is relatively new. So as sellers start to use it, it becomes another enhancement, right?
Right. And this begs the question, which we're going to have to ask right now. If you're selling on eBay and you've used time away, have you had a package returned to you while you were gone? And if so, and the refund was issued, was there a problem with the item that caused you some concern when you got back? Let us know. podcast@ebay.com or 888-723-4630. We'd love to hear from you.
Great question, Suzanne.
I have to admit, you think you've heard them all, and then someone comes up with a question. I've never considered this before, but it's a good one.
It is. And finally this week, we received this question from eBay seller Beverly, who wrote, "Hi, podcast folks. I just had something happen to me that I'm sure has happened to other sellers. I sold a shirt to a buyer with a label purchased on eBay. I dropped it off at USPS in their parcel box. The label was never scanned and tracking never showed acceptance or transit of the parcel. I asked USPS to track it and they cannot find it either. The buyer messaged me because the shirt didn't show up within the time promised in the listing. Long story short. Boy, that's classic.
That's a Freudian slip. Yeah.
I refunded him and chalked it up as a loss, like Griff says to do. But a few weeks later, the buyer contacts me to say that the shirt has arrived. He wanted to pay me for it, but there is no process on eBay to handle this type of payment. I eventually figured out I could invoice him through PayPal, but I had to get his PayPal email address in order to do so. eBay doesn't allow messages to have email addresses in them. We figured out a way that he could send the information to me, and I'm not going to tell you what we did, so don't ask. I wonder why she doesn't want us to ask.
I have an idea.
Yeah, and I was able to invoice him, and he paid me. I believe most buyers are honest like this buyer, but eBay makes it impossible to reopen a transaction once a refund is issued. Couldn't eBay make an exception for the item not received cases where the item was lost in transit only to show up eventually? Thanks from Beverly.
Yeah, she didn't leave an ID because I think I know how she did it. And Beverly, I wouldn't report you, I promise. But I'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, I've actually heard of this, right? Yeah. I've seen it discussed on social media.
But we don't have a mechanism
for it.
There's
no mechanism for this. And what most sellers do is they'll invoice that buyer separately through PayPal. But as Beverly noted, PayPal user IDs are email addresses, and you can't put an email address in an eBay message. It gets blocked. So here's how I think she did it, because I had a similar experience as a buyer. 2 months ago, I'm still buying cameras. I can't help myself. I love old cameras. And I've always wanted to own one of these cameras that were made in the 20th century in the USSR. And they're medium format cameras that are built just like a tank. They are so sturdy. And the one I was always wanting to buy was something called a Kiev 60. They may have been from Ukraine. I'm not sure. But I found one. I found several. And it was a Ukrainian seller. And I thought, there's a war going on. But this guy's selling and he's got things up for sale. He's got pretty good feedback, a few positive feedbacks that would say, you know, there's a little bit of a delay. It's understandable, but I'm very happy. So I bought the camera, buy it now, and paid for it. And that was May, beginning of May. And by the end of June, I'm having a little bit of a panic attack because no package, tracking shows nothing. The seller isn't responding. And I'm still thinking he's an honest guy. I think the problem here is there's a war going on. And
exactly.
Maybe he had to leave his apartment building because it got blown up by the Russians. But I'm worried now about not getting the camera. I should have been in the frame of mind of saying, oh, you know, look, if the package goes missing, it's my donation to a person in the Ukraine. I alerted eBay, hey, this hasn't arrived. They refunded my money. I'm sure it came out of his account. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I bet it did. Yeah,
it came out of his account. And that was 2 weeks ago. And then the beginning of this week on Monday, guess what shows up in the mail?
The camera.
The camera. In a box that looks like it's been to hell and back. I swear I was expecting to find like bullet holes. The camera itself was in great shape. I now own a camera and I didn't pay for it. And that is unacceptable to me. Now, how do I get the money to this seller? So I emailed him and I immediately let him know. I said, look, the camera arrived and now I have my money back. I got to repay you for this. He said, first, thank you for being so honest. You have no idea how much this means to me. It is really difficult right now. He said, I can invoice you. What's your PayPal email address? And I said, well, that's tricky because I can't put it in this email. It won't allow, the eBay system won't allow me. So what we should be looking for is a mechanism that allows for this to happen, because this is not, I don't think this is uncommon based on what I've seen from other sellers.
I agree. Like the buyer should be able to go in and say, I've received the item and I want to pay the seller. And then let's just trust the buyer that they're being honest when they go through that and give them a path. Of course, I don't have to write the code, so it's easy for me to say, let's just do this.
I'll write the code. I don't know what it'll turn out to be. It might destroy the whole site. But I couldn't live with myself knowing that some poor soul in the Ukraine, of all places,
during a war, heartless grift.
Gave up a can't. Exactly. I can't live with that. I got to get him his money. And there's no way for us to exchange honest information so that I can pay him.
This is an interesting one.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Because sometimes these kinds of ideas come up and they're on the list somewhere of, you know, enhancements.
Sure.
But they're also looking for, okay, how frequently does it occur? Or what's the pain point that we're solving for and how big of a pain point?
I think if sellers knew that this was an avenue that was open for those cases that, and I know they don't happen that often, but they do happen. I've just had one happen to me, and Beverly had it happen to her from the seller end. I think it would go a long way for instilling goodwill. Hey, you know, we want to make sure transactions happen on eBay, and things happen that are beyond buyer and seller control. They should be reversible. The buyer who's honest, it should be able to send money to a seller for an item that they've been refunded, but now the item has arrived. So that was my secret trick, by the way.
I didn't hear a thing. Beverly, if you did something similar to what Griff did, please send us your address so Griff can send you a mug.
I don't think she will. I think she may be a little nervous.
Well, I'm glad you were able to get the money to the Ukrainian seller. And,
yeah.
And you have a tank camera.
Oh, it's a fantastic camera. I'm going to use it. I've got tons of 120 film. I'm going to stick it in and go try to take artsy photos.
Cool.
In black and white. We'll see how
you
they
might have
out.
To go outside.
Oh, yeah. Backyard. Hey, okay. Little baby steps. I don't mind actually being outside as long as it's not with a crowd.
So. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to join the fun here on eBay for Business, call us on 888-723-4630.
Just like Brian said, 888-723-4630. You can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week, at your convenience, at your leisure. Don't worry about it. Whenever you want to call, you never call or write anyway, but we'll be waiting for it. You can leave a question or comment if you have one. If you've got one, it's okay if you don't. And we just might put it on the air. Oh, no. We'll put it on the air, I promise. Unless it's account related.
I don't know, Griff.
What?
I don't know if that's going to get anyone to write in.
That's the Jewish grandmother in me.
Is it?
Yeah, you never call, you never write. Right. But that's okay. I'll just sit here in the dark studio surrounded by no messages from you.
Trying to guilt everyone into writing you in.
No, it's a last resort. I will admit it.
I think there's plenty of stuff that our listeners have questions about.
Like my sanity.
Yeah. Is Griff sane? If you're not a call on the phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now I know you've been waiting for it. It's your 3-point podcast checklist. I change the name of this every week, but I thought that
you do. Yeah. Point one, check the announcement board on community.ebay.com for up-to-date seller news every day.
Point two, two words. You haven't heard them in a while. Thermal printer.
Thermal printer.
Thermal printer.
Point three, need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
On our next episode, we'll answer your questions and much more. You're not going to comment about that?
What else are we going to answer?
I don't know. I haven't put the show together yet. I'm still working on it.
Someone please call Griff and ask to be a guest. We'd like to thank all of the sellers who responded to our questions about the golden age of thrifting, and special thanks to our good friend Liz O'Kane for calling in to share her perspective.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.